All right, we're going to be in Judges chapter 5. We're going to start out there, and then we're going to backtrack into Judges chapter 4. And we're going to be talking about Deborah, who the one person who changed a whole nation. And since we've honored our graduates today, it's important to remember that one person can change the world. A lot of times we say, oh, I need all this stuff. No, one person who follows God and walks in his plan for their lives can literally change the world. So let's look at Deborah, and we're going to be in Judges chapter 5 and start in verse 6. Okay. If you will stand for the reading of the word. This gives kind of the background of what life was like for the Israelites when Deborah was around. In the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were deserted. The travelers walked along the byways. Village life ceased. It ceased in Israel until I, Deborah, arose, a mother in Israel. They chose new gods. Then there was war in the gates. Not a shield or spear was seen among 40,000 in Israel. Okay, so this is what's going on. You may be seated. This is what is going on in the backdrop of Israel right now. Village life, according to this chapter, village life had ceased. Now, they were under crazy oppression. All throughout the book of Judges, we see the same story repeated. The people would serve God. He would protect them. Life would go well. They would lose focus. They would start worshiping idols. God would step back and allow the consequences of their actions to catch up to them. And somebody would start oppressing them. They would realize their need for God. They would turn to him. He would deliver. And that is the whole book of Judges. Just constantly, I will serve God. Then I fall away. And then I am oppressed. That is pretty much the story. And so we see in Judges chapter 5, verse 6. By this time, village life has ceased, the Bible says. Roads weren't safe. And in verse 8, it says, not a shield or spear was seen among 40,000 in Israel. So to put it in modern day perspective, can you imagine if you couldn't leave your house safely? If all of our military had been taken over, all of our weapons confiscated by another country, it was not safe to go into town. That's what it was like. People were hiding out. They would take byways instead of the highways because it was not a safe environment at all for any people until one woman stood up and changed an entire nation. Okay, now let's go back a little bit and see the backstory, and then we're going to catch up with Judges 5 again. So now we're going to flip to Judges chapter 4, verse 1. And it says, when Ehud was dead, the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who dwelt in Harosheth Hagoyim. Okay, one thing that we learn from verse 1 and verse 2 is that the idols in our lives will always enslave us. They always will. There are things that are good things. We would consider them good things. Ministry, if we allow it to take our focus, if we allow our children to usurp God in our lives, if we allow success or any distractions, the minute we lose focus on Jesus, we have opened ourselves up to the enemy. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. But what if I'm not looking at Jesus? Then I'm missing out on the opportunity to grow in my faith and stop the enemy, because that's part of my weaponry in Ephesians 6 armor. If I want to defeat the enemy, part of the weaponry is my shield of faith. But Jesus is the author of that. So what if I'm not looking at him? Okay, so we got to be really careful that we do not lose focus on Jesus. Peter was fine walking on the water. The wind was howling. The waves were roaring. Life was not easy in that moment. But as long as he kept his eye on Jesus, he was fine. When he looked away from Jesus, nothing changed about his environment. It was still as precarious. But the minute he took his eyes off of Jesus, then he started sinking. So what was the difference? The only difference is our focus. Are we focused on our idols of distraction, of whatever? Or are we focused on Jesus? The Bible says, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ. I cannot do all things by myself. I need him. This is a battlefield, and we're going to talk about that tonight. We are on a battlefield. Satan wants to steal your destiny, young people. He wants to steal your families. He wants to steal your marriages, your kids, your hopes, your dreams, and your purpose. And if you allow him to do so, he will. But we have to rise up like Deborah did and say, nope, I'm going to take that back today. This is my resurrection day. Okay? So let's look in verse 3. The children of Israel cried out to the Lord, for Jabin had 900 chariots of iron, and for 20 years he had harshly oppressed the children of Israel. Okay, so 20 years now they've been oppressed. 20 years. And they finally think, why don't we call out to God? Isn't that a novel concept? We are the people of God, chosen people, delivered from bondage in God's promised land. Why don't we call out to God after 20 years? Sometimes we walk so long into things that God has already delivered us from, but we carry that baggage around, right? We still carry it around because we don't cry out to God. James 4:2 says, you don't have because you don't ask. So we need to learn to, the minute stuff comes up, man, the minute something starts hurting in my body, I don't wait and try to fix it myself. It is time to start talking to Jesus about that thing, because Satan loves it when we wait and when we delay and when we allow the circumstances of life to distract us. So we don't have time for that. Okay. Now there's a big need. There were 900 chariots of iron, according to verse 3, 900 chariots of iron. Jacob, put up that picture of those warriors. It's slide 3, I think it is. No, yeah, go to, yeah, okay. Caleb, come up here. Where's my Caleb? Okay. Okay, we're going to have a little battle here between for Caleb. Okay, Caleb, come on. He's in my boxing ring, standing 6 foot tall and 170 pounds. This is Caleb Kavasakian. Woo-hoo! Right? Go ahead, Caleb. That's right. That's right. Show them what you got, babe. Okay, and you're going to be fighting those guys, four in a chariot. You have no weapons. You have nothing. And you're going to go against horses and them. Good luck with that. Do you feel confident in yourself if you're facing this vast army with horses and 900 iron chariots, not to mention all their warriors, and you have nothing, no weapons, you just got your handsomeness, right, Caleb?
Right.
Just slay them with handsomeness. Go ahead, have a seat. Okay, well, that's what the Israelites were facing. They had no weapons. They had no morale. They have been hiding out from this oppression for 20 years. And all of a sudden, God's going to tell them to stand up and rise up, because God's going to speak through one woman. Okay, so let's look in verses 4 and 5. Now, we see about Deborah, the first thing we learn about Deborah, go ahead to slide 1, Jacob. The first thing we find out about Deborah is she is the mother of Israel and she is focused. Go ahead to the next slide. Deborah is focused, okay? We learn about Deborah in verses 4 and 5. Let's just read those real quick. Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel at that time. She would sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the mountains of Ephraim, and the children of Israel came to her for judgment. So we see about Deborah, she wears a lot of hats, right? She is a wife. She is only two people in the Bible are known as both prophet and judge. That is Deborah and Samuel. Only two people in the Bible. So she's spending her time between being prophet and spiritually speaking to the people and being judicial and helping solve dilemmas with the law that she had. That's a full-time job. If you're dealing with people who are not serving God, can you imagine the drama she dealt with? The Bible says in Judges 21:25, the people were doing what was right in their own eyes. When you do what is right in your own eyes, it can get messy really quickly. And Deborah is dealing with people who were very messy. So all day she's dealing with drama, but she maintained her focus on the Lord. And that is so important that we do that, because we all wear a lot of hats. We all do. I am wife and mom and minister and worker and all of those things. And yet we all have the same 24 hours in a day. And if we will maintain our focus, then we can fulfill our destiny and wear all of our hats. But our number one hat has to be our God hat. If I do not seek first the kingdom of God, then I will not have the grace to walk through all the other things in my life. Seek first the kingdom of God and all this other stuff will be added unto you. But if I get my God hat off and I'm wearing all these other hats, I will be a hot mess all the time. And God hasn't called us to be a hot mess. He's called us to be focused. I've heard it said, if the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. So we don't want to get so busy that we miss out on the focus and the purpose that God has for us. Deborah kept marching toward God's mission. She was helped to save a nation. The next thing we see about Deborah, go ahead to the next slide, is that she was obedient. Let's see what she did. In verse 6, she sent and called for Barak, the son of Abinoam from Kadesh in Naphtali, and she said to him, "Has not the Lord God of Israel commanded, go and deploy troops at Mount Tabor, take with you 10,000 men of the sons of Naphtali and the sons of Zebulun, and against you I will deploy Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude at the river Kishon, and I will deliver him into your hand." The most important thing that we will ever, ever, ever learn how to do in our lives is hear the voice of God and obey it. That is the most important thing. Until you learn to hear the voice of God in your heart, you got to be really comfortable sitting. Just sit down and say, "God, I need to hear from you." Now, I would love to say that God spoke to me every time I asked him to, but he doesn't always. But every time that I am seeking him, when I am reading his word, when I would rather be watching a movie, when I am praying, when I would rather be taking a nap, all of that time, I am tuning my heart to hear his voice. So when he does speak, I hear it loud and clear. That is so important that we do. So when you're not hearing God, you just every day, as you're disciplining yourself, you're staying focused to seek him. You are tuning your heart so that when he speaks, you can hear, and you will then be prepared to be obedient. Okay, so she says to Barak, "Has not the Lord commanded?" We don't know how Deborah knows what the Lord had said. Maybe the Lord spoke to Barak through her and said, "You're about to go to war with these enemies." Maybe Barak had told her that the Lord had spoken to him. We don't know how she knew, but we do know that Deborah was ready to go and fight. Let's go fight our oppressors. Let's go do this thing. God had given three specifics in his word. He had said which troops to take, where to go, and he had assured them of victory. That's pretty great, right? If you know who you're supposed to take, where you're supposed to be, and God says you're going to win the battle, you would think that would be pretty easy to take on, right? It seems like it would be easy, but it's not. We get words from the Lord. He speaks things to our heart, and we go to do it, and it takes faith, and we're like, "But I'm so scared, and maybe I heard God incorrectly, or maybe something's wrong, maybe it's not going to turn out." Fear is a huge struggle. We all deal with fear. We all do. I'm scared up here right now. That's just life. We all do it scared. You step out in obedience, even when you're scared, because your faith has to be bigger than your fear. And if you let fear grow, fear always brings friends. Always. It has lots of friends. And so you have to step out on faith, leave all that mess behind, even when you feel scared. It's okay, because we all feel that way. So God had given specifics, and Deborah's like, "Let's go. Let's go. Let's go do this thing." When God speaks, when we read the promises of God, there is victory for our lives in them. The Lord spoke through Bill this morning an amazing word. And those who are willing to take that word, walk in it, receive it by faith, will walk in deliverance. Those who were not willing to take that word can miss out. The Israelites, the Lord called them, inhabit the promised land. I have given you the promised land. They were scared to march in and take it. And so they lived without the promised land. Was it God's will that they live without the promised land? No, but they lived without it because they were not willing to be obedient and hear God's voice. Okay, so let's look in verse 8 through 10. So Deborah says, "Let's go. Let's go to war. We got the instructions." Barak, let's see. Let's look at 8 through 10. Did I say that? Yes. Okay, 8 through 10. Barak said, "If you will go with me, I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go." Again, we are in a battlefield. If we're waiting for somebody else to fight our battles for us, we're going to miss out on the victories that God has called us to. We have to be willing to go alone. But now it is okay. Barak was still used to defeat an army. God still used him. Sometimes we're just scared and we need the help of somebody else. So don't be condemned if you're not Deborah yet. I am not Deborah yet. I'm not ready to go fight everybody by myself all the time. Some days we need our brothers and sisters. But Deborah was willing to go. So Barak said, "If you'll go with me, I will go and we will fight these oppressors." All right, let's go to the next thing about Deborah. Verses 14 through 15, we learn, let's look in Judges 4, 14. We learn that Deborah was an encourager, right? So she's told Barak, "Let's go. Let's go against the enemy." Barak said, "I'll do it. We'll go to war if you will go with me." She said, "I will go, but because I have to go with you, the victory's not going to go to you. It's going to go to a woman because I have to go with you." Okay, so the next thing we see in Deborah is that she's an encourager. Let's look at those verses. Then Deborah said to Barak, "Up. For this is the day in which the Lord has delivered Sisera into your hand. Has not the Lord gone before you?" So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. And the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and all his army with the edge of the sword before Barak. And Sisera lighted down from his chariot and fled away on foot. But Barak pursued the chariots and the army as far as Harosheth-hagoyim, and all the army of Sisera fell by the edge of the sword. Not a man was left. That's awesome. Not one person. All their little iron chariots now just look like little Legos dotting the pavement. Right? God had taken, not one person was left. Now you like my weapons now. Didn't even have to have any weapons because I had Jesus. Right? Nobody left. Everybody's been taken over except for one guy. Deborah was willing to encourage Barak. Now today is the day. Let's go and let's take this enemy. People are always watching us. They're always listening to us. Are our conversations, are our actions pointing them toward faith or away from it? When my kids go to school every day, I try, almost every day, what do I tell you guys? Love God, love people, change the world. That's my thing that I say. Love God, love people, change the world. Because I want them to do that. I want them to carry that mantle into the schools. When you sometimes we make the gospel so hard. We think, oh, I need to go. I need to witness. I need to learn more scriptures. I don't have enough memorized. Just go love God. Love people. And if you will do that, you will change the world. So I speak that. I encourage them in that mission. I try to be an encourager for what God wants to do. It is so important that we raise up world changers. We become world changers ourselves, and we raise up world changers, and we speak God's word over their lives. Deborah kept people focused on the Lord. She said in verse 14, up. Today is the day which the Lord has delivered. Has not the Lord gone out before you? If we remember that the Lord goes out before us, it's all okay. If we remember the Lord goes before us, with us, behind us, we can walk in faith and not in fear, or at least not let our fear dictate it. Marilyn Hickey said, "The battle is not over until you win." And the Israelites that day, because Deborah walked in focus and in obedience and Barak went with her, not a man was left. They won that battle. We serve an overcoming God, so we do not have to live lives that are not overcoming. We fight until we overcome. We keep speaking to our mountains. We keep praying the promises of God. And now we're going to look in 17 through 21. Sisera, the one guy, the one commander of the Canaanite army, he's still at large. He's the commander. And so we're going to see how he ends. Sisera had fled away on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, for there was peace between Jabin, king of Hazor, and the house of Heber the Kenite. Jael went out to greet Sisera and said to him, "Turn aside, my lord, turn aside to me. Do not fear." And when he had turned aside with her into the tent, she covered him with a blanket. Then he said to her, "Please give me a little water to drink, for I am thirsty." So she opened a jug of milk, gave him a drink, and covered him. And he said to her, "Stand at the door of the tent. If anyone comes and inquires of you and says, 'Is there any man here?' you shall say no." Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a tent peg, took a hammer in her hand, went softly to him, and drove the peg into his temple. It went down into the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary, so he died. What is happening in this story, right? That is a strong woman. I would not want to meet her in a dark street with her little tent peg, right? So this is where the story changes. When Deborah said to Barak, "Because you are not willing to go alone, the glory is going to go to a woman," I would assume that the glory would go to Deborah. But really, the one who closed the deal was Miss Tent Peg, JL, who's hiding out in her tent at this point. All right, go ahead to the next slide. So JL, she has milk and a tent peg. You know, you think, what can I do? My gifts are so small. I am not a Deborah. I'm not a Barak. I'm not ready to take over. I just have my little cup of milk and my little tent peg. Man, do what you have. If you know one scripture, use your one scripture. Wear that thing out, because there you can't wear it out. Learn another scripture. You start where you are with your little glass of milk. Well, I told y'all last Sunday, the story still impacts me. We went to the Fireproof Church, and the man who had taken the church phone list home, and he would call everybody and say happy birthday to this church that was like a 1,000-member large. And they honored this man because he was the happy birthday man. He took his little cup of milk and he sang happy birthday to everybody in the church on their birthdays. How cool is that? He was an elderly gentleman. He might have thought, what do I have to give the church? You have a sweet little happy birthday song. And it changed that church. We had a lady in our church in Fort Meade, and her name was Linda Burnson. And she would come up on Sunday nights, and she would share her dishwashing song sometimes. Now, pitch was not her thing. Rhythm, not her thing. But she would come up, and she would sing her dishwashing song with her little shrill voice. And it was so anointed. It was so anointed. We were all like, while she was singing, because she was offering her glass of milk, and it impacted us. I have sung with people all of my life, some very talented singers, and I cannot remember their names. I can remember Linda Burnson 35 years later with her dishwashing song, because she offered her milk and her tent peg, and she changed my life 35 years later. So don't think my gift is too small. You offer what you have to Jesus, and the Bible says, if you're faithful in a few things, I'll make you ruler over many. So you get to use what you have for the kingdom and keep growing. Okay, so just when we have things figured out, God changes the picture. We think Deborah's going to end up the hero, but JL for this moment does. You never know what God's going to do with the picture of your story if you just trust him with it. Just trust him that he has a plan. And even when you don't see him moving in your life, maybe he's got a little JL out in a tent who's going to close this whole story up for you, because God is always working. We have to be willing to hear and obey God, walk in faith, encourage, do what's in front of us, trusting God with the results. Now we're going to finish this up in Judges chapter 5. We learn that Deborah is a worshiper. Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, sang on that day, when the leaders lead in Israel, when the people willingly offer themselves, bless the Lord. Hear, O kings, give ear, O princes. I will sing to the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. Go ahead and throw that worshiper up there, Jacob. Worship is reminding ourselves who God is. If I had a dollar for every Sunday morning that I just felt like staying in my bed and not leading worship, I would have some cash. We don't always feel like worshiping, but worship is obedience. We come into this church, most of us tired and worn out from the week and sometimes dealing with distractions in our mind, but God is worthy. So we worship him in spirit and in truth, whether we feel like it or not, because at the end of the day, he's worthy of that. Worship, Psalm 100 says, we enter his gates and his courts with thanks and praise. If you want to be closer to God, worship him throughout the day. That is the best way to stay close to him. Just, I thank you, Lord, that I don't feel great today, but I am mobile. I thank you, Lord, that though the kids are not getting along right now, thank you that they are home and in my house. Thank you, Lord, that even though I want to rip somebody's head off, I'm not ripping their head off because you have given me patience. You can thank the Lord in every situation and stay close to him in the process. And the final thing we learn about Deborah is found in Judges chapter 5, verse 12. And we learn that Deborah was tenacious. Awake, Judges chapter 5, verse 12 says, awake, awake, Deborah. Awake, awake, sing a song. Arise, Barak, and lead your captives away, O son of Abinoam. We have to, as God's people, learn how to encourage ourselves in the Lord. If we do not learn how to encourage ourselves in the Lord, life is hard. Life is hard, and sometimes you do feel like you have a target on your back from the enemy, because you do. But if we will learn to encourage ourselves in the Lord, man, we can win the battles that are in front of us, just like Deborah did. One woman took on a nation with all their little iron chariots and was able to emerge victorious. So we got to learn how to encourage ourselves in the Lord, do it scared, and not get distracted. So graduates and everybody, whether you graduated 30 years ago? How long is it for me? 27 years ago? Whatever. We're still world changers, whether you are young or old. We can still be world changers. If we will learn from the story of Deborah, we've learned all month about words. Notice what Deborah said. She encouraged. She worshiped with her words. She spoke God's truth. She walked in obedience and she stayed focused. And we want to speak God's word. We want to walk in God's word. And we want to fulfill God's purpose for our our lives. So let's follow the example of Deborah. And if you feel like you fall short of her, I do too. I feel like I fall short of all that. I love the story of Moses. God called him when, for all intents and purposes, Moses was a washed up has-been. He was on the backside of the desert, said he had a stuttering problem. In Acts 7, it says that he started out as a man great in speech. But by the time God calls him to go back to Egypt, he is scared. He offers five times. He says, God, don't make me do it. I'm not ready. I'm not worthy. We oftentimes who are used in leadership, we feel unworthy. But the people who God uses, though they feel unworthy, they every day they get up and they determine to be focused. And we walk in the new mercy that God gives us every morning. And we walk in grace because we need it so much. And when we are tired, we say, this thing is worth it. This thing is worth it to walk in victory and to see my kids serve the Lord and to protect my marriage. It is worth it to walk in all that God has for me. And most of all, to walk in his purpose for my life. If I give up, what do I miss out on? I miss out on eternity with Christ and the opportunity to bring a whole lot of people with me. The opportunity to see battles won and lives changed. So we cannot afford to take our eyes off the prize. Let me pray over you guys. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I pray that we will be like Deborah. God, even when we don't feel that we're even close to matching up to her, God, that we will stay focused on you because you're the author and finisher of our faith. It's not about us. It says if we'll look at you, you'll finish this thing through us, God. So we don't have to be alone. We don't have to try to clean ourselves up. Our whole job is to look at you and walk with you. I pray that we will hear your voice clearly and obey it. God, that we will be encouragers and speak life into the people who are around us, God, that we will be worshipers and that we will fight tenaciously because so much is at stake. And this battle is the Lord's, and you will change the world through us if we will just keep our eyes on you and be willing to show up to the battlefield, God. In Jesus' name, amen.